The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Five things to do before the year is over when it comes to investing in real estate. That's today's show. Let's dive into it. Hey, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And hey there, Freedom Fighters. Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. This is the show where we focus on helping you build passive income so that you can spend more time with your family. It's the holiday time. It's the end of the year. And there's a lot of planning that goes into making sure you have a really kind of kick-ass 2018, right?
Because exactly right.
The idea of sort of drifting into 2018 really sounds like, or even to 2019. At the end of the year, if you're just planning to kind of drift, you know, you kind of go where the current takes you,
right.
That's no good, right? If you have a goal, if you have an agenda, if you have agency in your own life and you're planning,
right.
You can actually achieve those goals if you put some focus on it. So we're going to go over five key things today that we're working on right now. Not all of these will necessarily apply to you, but some of them will. And we're going to walk through how to maximize your deductions this year and a whole bunch of other things.
All right? Kinds of things, right. So we wanted to talk about what we're up to and planning for the end of the year because we want to hit the ground running in 2018. And there are things that you can only do in a given calendar year to maximize your tax benefit or maximize your, you know, appreciation or whatever. So I want to make sure that we do all of those things before the end of the year so that we don't look back and say, oh, I wish that we had done something different because now our taxable burden is different. Now, we should sort of mention that we're doing this podcast at a time when the Senate has passed a new tax bill. The House has not passed it. It seems like they probably will. So we're kind of shadow boxing here because we think that we're planning for the way things are when we have no idea how the way things will be when we actually come to file taxes next year. So we're going to do our best.
And we are going to do a full episode once we get some clarification. Right now, the House and the Senate are going back and forth. They're having sort of private meetings right now to work out some of the language in the bill. Whether or not the president signs it before Christmas, we'll see. So this portion of the podcast might not be evergreen, but we will come back and do a full episode on the tax implications of this new tax bill passed by the Senate and House and then possibly signed by the president. We'll break it down, what right. It's going to mean for real estate investors, because we're already seeing some significant benefits if you own a business
yeah.
and you are a real estate investor. We'll explain it all.
Right. I mean, it could really significantly change our taxable burden in 2018, and we just don't know. Some of the things we do know, right? We know that we're always going to be able to take advantage of depreciation as real estate investors. We know that some of our savings accounts are tax deductions or tax pre-tax, post-tax, right? We know those things. We know what LLCs we've got now. We know what those LLCs have made or about what they're going to make by the time 2017 comes to a close. So that's why we do this stuff now. And around November, our tax accountants start calling us and saying, give me an estimate of what you think that you're going to have made by the end of the year. Make sure that all of these things we've planned for had actually happened. They had set up some LLCs that I was intending to use in one way as either a holding company or whatever. You know, they wanted to make sure, did those LLCs actually execute on those things? So this is something we started in 2016 when we started working with Provision, because this is their way. They come to us in November and make sure that any course correction that needs to happen in that last 8 to 10 weeks of the year happens before the calendar year comes to a close. So it always has me locking myself in my office and making sure I run down all the numbers properly and making sure each property is, and it's a lot of due diligence. But I love it. I love it as long as you leave me alone.
Well, like last night, right? I was doing some work down here in the office, in the pub, and she was doing some work in the office, and you know, putting the kids to bed. It's like she's like, okay, I'm locking myself in the office. She's got the 27-inch iMac open with spreadsheets going over all these numbers.
I got
for the
some
year.
New filing cabinets at the Container Store to assemble. She's it's super a very exciting time, right? You're it like, is, you're I love, thinking about going into this new year fresh. It's like, you know, when you were a student at the beginning of September and you get all the freshly sharpened pencils. It's so awesome.
And the new Trapper Keepers.
Right.
Yeah, it's super exciting. So I love this time of year as well. It's my birthday on New Year's Eve.
That has nothing to do with anything.
Well, I just want to throw it out there in case anyone wants to send me anything. So New Year's Eve is my birthday. It's always like a fresh start. Right. You know, I think the new year can be a bit of a cliche for people and goal setting, but it's something that Natalie and I always put together on our whiteboard. What are the goals that we want to hit? What passive income goals do we want to hit next year? How many property acquisitions do we want to get in the new year? If we've got 50 properties, is there one that, hey, we need to pay a little bit more attention to? Is this one particular area of the country we'd like to buy more properties in, et cetera? So maybe we want to acquire more this year in Indianapolis, or maybe more in Michigan, or whatever. So having a clear understanding of where you're going is incredibly important. I don't want you to drift into 2018. People who set goals actually achieve them, and especially if you're looking at them every day, written on your refrigerator or written on your whiteboard. But there are five key areas today that we're going to talk about where we are going to sort of clean up, get you ready for 2018 so that you're prepared. So let's start with number one.
What was number one? Was cleaning out your file cabinets?
Yeah, and your clutter.
I don't remember the sequence of things.
But this is also,
I can tell you all about each thing, but
yeah,
you remember the sequence.
Decluttering, right? So decluttering, and that really starts with talking to your accountant.
Right. So you want to make sure your books are in order. Make sure that your balance sheet is in order, because at the end of the year, I'll come to Clayton and say, this is where we started in January and this is where we ended in December. Now, where do we go from here, right? And so in 2016, we did exactly that. We sat down and we said, this is what we have, this is what we owe, and this is what we're worth, right? And then this is in a separate spreadsheet is what we're making right now in passive income. So Clayton actually in January said, okay, I want 50% more than that. Should we use real numbers? No.
It's not going to be relevant, but just if you have percentages, makes a lot of sense.
All right. So we were at a certain number and he said, I want to increase that by 50%. And I was like, you're on drugs, because it took us 5 years to get to that amount of passive income. But that's what he wanted. We had no notion in the beginning of the year that you would leave your day job. That wasn't really a goal, but it was always a goal to get there so that he could. And so we've talked about many times how he did that in September, which was awesome. But last week we had a closing that actually put us there and we hit that 50% number. And so now we're there and we're thinking to ourselves, okay, that's great. It's amazing. We have this amount of passive income, but it's also a lot of management of the, you know, like moving pieces of what LLC owns it, or, you know, all of these different things that go along with it. So how do we want to move forward in the next year? Do we want to own more and then, you know, also, that's more work for us? Do we want to have people help us? Do we want, you know, we have to really strategize from here. And so if you have not hit your number and you're getting closer to it, you want to really write it out and figure out how can you get there.
Right. And some of, you know, personal things, right? Like if you own a lot of properties, you may, like we hired a bookkeeper this year to sort of manage some of that for us on our side, which is taking the burden off of Natalie on the spreadsheet side. I want to hire an additional personal assistant. So like, I don't want to be going through emails anymore. Like I want someone who is on my team who can go through and manage these, you know, if you get 200 emails, most of hopefully my team is taking care of those things. So I want to make sure that I don't have to do that. I want to be able to focus on the larger, bigger projects that help our clients, help our customers, help our family. And getting bogged down in stupid things like emails is a waste of my time. And it needs to be pushed off on somebody else who can really handle and do a better job of it.
Moral of the story, don't email Clayton.
Right. Please, please. I have enough
of
those.
He does not like it.
No. So, but bottom line, really begin to think about, okay, how can you expand your family? You know, if you're starting a small business, honestly, you're doing everything, right? If you're the sole proprietor of your own business and you think of real estate investing as your own business, you're probably doing everything yourself. And when you will really double your company is when you stop doing everything yourself and you start to hire somebody else to do those things. So write down all of the tasks that you're currently doing for your family, your life, you know, your goals with real estate investing. And it's probably going to be like 100 things, right? Like submit taxes, you know, get property insurance, do all of these different things, whatever, on and on and on. The list
get
is going to go.
Bank account.
Bank accounts, sure credit cards set up for your business.
Right, all of that stuff.
And then
it's
you,
a lot.
And then what you want to do is break those down into chunks. Okay, these are 10 or 12 different pieces of this that I can literally hire somebody to do. So we took that list and we were able to then hire a bookkeeper that was able to take a good chunk of that off of Natalie's lap for the bookkeeping purposes. And
but now
what?
That's someone I have to work with right at the end of the year and say, I just want to make double, triple sure that you've been categorizing the expenses because we have now, we own close to 50 properties. And if you take like, you know, you take them in chunks that each LLC has about $150,000 worth of assets. So that's like 8 LLCs. Which has its own bank account. And so I just, you know, want to make double sure I keep a spreadsheet for them. Here are the list of accounts. Here's what each account owns. I want to make sure that these are all coded properly. So they do it and I trust them. They also do our payroll. But, you know, there's always going to be a way that you can't outsource yourself, you know, because this is a business that exists for the sole purpose of serving our family. So there's going to be things that we have to keep in the forefront on. So, you know, managing that, even though I don't do the kind of pencil pushing, I do the sort of higher level managing is a lot. And so that's one thing is make sure you strategize with your accountant towards the end. Is there anything you can do?
Right.
For instance, you know, you might have an LLC that's the pass-through LLC, or you might have an LLC that's the umbrella corporation under which all of these LLCs make money. Have those LLCs like fed up properly to the right LLC so that your taxation is proper? I had made a mistake in one of those this year, and that was caught by the accountant. Like, oh, you weren't supposed to accept money in this. You were supposed to pay money through it. It's complicated. I cannot explain it to you because obviously I did it wrong. But we can fix it by having one LLC, you know, pay the other one. So those things need to happen in this calendar year. Also, for acquisitions that we may have made this year that, you know, they're still being rehabbed, I want to claim depreciation on them in this year. But I can't say that they were in use in 2017 if they weren't advertised for rent, right? So I have to make sure that those properties were advertised. It doesn't matter where, right? I can save it on Craigslist. And say, yes, it was indeed put in order as a rental property. So those are the kind of things you need to be having discussions with your accountant, not with us. Don't write us about it.
Right, we're not accountants.
Right.
But all right, so step one is to declutter, have a conversation with your accountant, areas you can clean up in your business. And we use Provision, as you know, provisionwealth.com. We believe in them. So when people ask us, you know, who's your accountant? We get this question daily. We say, hey, go to Provision. They're the best. They're the best. Yes, they cost a little bit of money to work with, but you know what? They're the best. So you pay for what you get, right? You know, you buy 5 shelves from IKEA because they break every year, or you buy one really good shelf and it lasts a lifetime. And that's the way that I look at our accounting team and hiring our bookkeeper, taking these things and decluttering and making sure that you've got right people surrounding you. So in this new year, think about hiring the right team around you as well.
Today's episode is brought to you by Eero, E-E-R-O. You never have to think about Wi-Fi for your home ever again. I had a group of friends over the other day. We were watching some football, and we were talking real estate. We were talking other things, but we're guys, and so we get to talking about technology stuff. And we were down in our basement, and we had 150 megabytes down, super fast Wi-Fi in my basement. And my friend said, "What in the world? What do you have? What is that white little device sitting over there that is getting you super fast Wi-Fi in your home?" And I explained that that is the Eero. It is a Wi-Fi mesh network that basically you plug in one Eero to your router, and then you can plug in multiple Eeros throughout the house, and it creates like a spider web of super fast Wi-Fi. Now, I'm sure you've gone to Best Buy and you've seen those like weird routers that have, they look like spiders or something. They've got huge antenna sticking out of them. Those do not work well at all. And the designers of Eero recognize that. So they've actually created a fantastic, true mesh network that's built to work perfectly with the Eero hardware. And it's the most intelligent Wi-Fi system out there on the market. I use it in my house. We live in about a 5,000 square foot home. And so where the main router sits in my office, right, we've got all the way up in the loft where my wife likes to do her Peloton bike riding and the kids like to play games, right? Watch Apple TV, Netflix. That's three floors higher. Well, we need to have Wi-Fi up there. We need to have super fast Wi-Fi. So guess what? We added the Eeros throughout the house, and the Wi-Fi stays consistent throughout the house no matter where you are. I used to live in Philadelphia in a brick house and in a brick condominium, and the router sat out in the living room. Well, going through the brick walls to the bedroom, I had no Wi-Fi in the bedroom. Well, that's where Eero comes in and solves that. Now, they just came out with their second generation and the Eero Beacon. Let me tell you about both of these because it's really important. The second generation Eero is now tri-band, which means it's twice as fast as the first generation, which lets customers do more simultaneously in every room of their home. So whatever your Wi-Fi needs, you know, like if your kids are on their iPads or doing something and you need something that's on a lower, you know, increased speed and range with something else, then you're able to be able to connect to low power. So if you've got a doorbell, like a Ring doorbell connected, that uses a little bit of power. It can be on the same radio as your kids that are using the iPad, so it doesn't interfere with those things. It's really great. And what I love about the Eero Beacon, these are amazing. So they just rolled these out. You plug these into a typical power outlet to extend your network even further. And they built a nightlight into it. And during the day, it'll know that, hey, it's daytime. We don't need the nightlight on. But it's great. It does a multi-purpose. So we've got a dark hallway. I put an Eero beacon in the hallway, which extends our Wi-Fi network. But guess what? Now I'm not tripping over laundry in the hallway, you know, and kids' toys because it's got a nightlight built into it. I love it. So it's amazing. You don't have to upgrade your router, right? If you've got a Verizon router or a Comcast router or a Time Warner, whatever you've got, you plug it right into the Eero, and then you just launch the Eero app on your smartphone, and it works fantastic. It's so brain dead simple to use. I love it. Really, really great. And they've got great customer support too. So if you actually call their phone number, you're going to get a live human being that's going to actually help you. And guess what? You're going to get free overnight shipping right now to the United States or Canada. If you go to Eero.com, that's Eero.com, and at checkout, select overnight shipping. And then all you have to do is enter our investing code. So include investing as your coupon code when you're checking out, and you'll get free overnight shipping. So go to Eero.com, and then you'll get free overnight shipping. Just use the coupon code investing. And I'm telling you what, your Wi-Fi network in your home will never be the same. So my friends went out and ordered it right after we had that little dinner party the other night, and they absolutely love it. My friend John, he's like got terrible Wi-Fi, and he's like, I ordered it. And I said, don't forget to use the coupon code investing so you get overnight shipping. Thanks so much, Eero. I love you guys. I use you all the time.
All right, step two, let's talk about the deductions that you can take this calendar year. So step one, declutter. Step two, making sure you're maximizing your deductions in 2017.
Right. So, you know, if you were thinking of purchasing something for the business, do it now, right? You want to take that write-off now. If you need a computer.
Like what? You need a computer,
you need a phone, you need a printer, right? Fur coat probably doesn't count unless you're, I don't know. We can probably come up with a way to go through the tax expenses.
If you're a model, like if you're a runway model.
Or if you're like a mosher, right? Like a dog mosher?
No, a musher?
That's how you say it. It's dog moshing.
No, a mosh pit is like when you go to a grunge concert and people, you know, throw you around in a mosh pit.
Yes, that's what I said.
Is it the same thing?
Dog moshing.
Dog mushing. M-U-S-H.
I actually don't know how to spell it. But anyway, if that's what you do with the Huskies, then you can probably get yourself a fur coat as a tax deduction.
Or if you're in Game of Thrones and you're covering Winterfell and you need one of the big coats because it's cold, you know, battling White Walkers,
right?
Then that might be a write-off. But the point is,
the Iron Bank might challenge that because I think that those are provided by the Lannister army. But I digress.
So there's a bunch of things. Here's a couple of things that we took advantage of in this calendar year that you might want to get in before the end of the year is your self-directed IRA. So we have a 14-month-old little girl. We have a 5-year-old and we have a 7-year-old. Recently, we opened up self-directed IRA accounts using our friends over at Advanta IRA. You know, Scott and his team are fantastic. They've been guests on the podcast. So we recommend them wholeheartedly. They manage our self-directed accounts. They're great. And they're very tech savvy, so they're easy to set up. And the key is we set up these self-directed IRAs because you're able to max them out at $5,500 a year.
Right.
Right? So that's money out of your pocket, off of your taxable burden. Why not?
Well, no, they're Roths. So
they're post-tax, right?
They're post-tax dollars, but you only get until a certain amount of time to actually make your contributions for the year. Now, for those, they usually are extended a little bit past January. You can make the contributions all the way into April, but you still want to do it, right? Because you lose the opportunity to build brick by brick. If you have a traditional IRA, yes, then you're going to take money off of your taxation this year. We don't want that. We want to pay tax on the crop. We don't want to pay tax on the seed. That's what we have decided in our family. So we put post-tax dollars into our IRAs. Same thing with the 529s. 529s give you a specific amount of limit if you're saving for college. You know, that's not going to be taken off your taxable burden this year, but you only get this year to build this brick. And then you go next year. So, you know, whatever retirement accounts you have, whether they're pre or post-tax, it's just a different philosophy. But make sure you put the bricks in that are allowed for this tax year.
Also, I think it's great. I want to tell this little quick story, a little aside. The other night, we were sitting there. We're both sick as can be right now. Well, I'm maybe
he's
a little
more sick.
Let me get that cough out.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm not being dramatic. You can hear it in me, right? I'm suffering.
Not at all.
Can you get me like a hot towel or something? Mm-hmm. So we were talking the other night before bed. We were actually pulled up the spreadsheets of the self-directed accounts.
Oh, yeah.
This is like pillow talk.
I'm excited. Right.
I got super excited. I was super hot under the collar for this. So she showed us our self-directed accounts. She showed our self-directed accounts for our children that we had opened with Advanta in the past year.
Right.
And for our little girl Eve, who's now 14 months old, putting in $5,500 a year.
From the time she's 2. Now, we've talked many times about how a small child can qualify for an IRA. We've talked about how we make sure we go through the proper channels. So it's not like we're just taking advantage of the tax law. We're actually
totally
doing
legal.
It legitimately. But okay, go ahead.
So $5,500 a year.
From the time she's 2.
Okay. Then we also then take that $5,500 from her account and invest it in real estate. So now pulling out $5,500 to invest.
Not pulling out, investing in.
Oh, right. So at a minimum of 8% return. So we do about 8%. You know, most of our properties do about 10 to 12%.
But we were trying to be conservative. If we made a conservative 8% per year for 67 years, because when she's 69, she'll have had it for 67 years. And we put the minimum allotment of $5,500 a year and it grows at 8%. By the time she's 69, tax-free, she'd have $12 million.
$12 million.
It's so crazy.
When you look at this spreadsheet and you realize the power of investing in real estate using a self-directed account for your children, set it up today.
Right.
You know, you got a five-year-old, do it today. Set it up. Start using, put $5,500 in there, and then use that $5,500 to invest in real estate at 8%. You can buy into, you know, or lend it out as a note. Right, to somebody else who wants to invest in real estate, lend that money out.
Even Clayton, he took his IRA, or I'm sorry, his 401k from Fox News and transferred it into an IRA. And he said, well, it's not a Roth 401k, so I can't transfer it into a Roth IRA without triggering a taxable burden. And so we really did the math and we're like, oh, do we want to pay taxes on this year? That's such a big chunk of change to pay taxes on. But we ran the numbers. And if we took the sum of it and grow it at 8% for the next 19 years until he hits 69 and a half, it alone will be worth, I think, what did we, it was like $1.8 million that he will then take out tax-free. So we had to really ask ourselves, do we want to take the tax rate this year? I keep gesturing wildly. I'm getting excited. On this chunk of change on the seed or the crop of $1.8 million. And so we decided this year we were going to take the hit. So might be the right year if the GOP does us right. You know, you never know. But
who knows?
But we mentally prepared to take the tax hit at our current tax rate of 39% because we believed in what we can do with this money in 19 years.
All right. So step one, declutter. Step two,
maximize your retirement accounts.
Yeah. Step three.
What was step three? I don't remember the steps as you laid them out. You just barked them at me.
No, but I asked you, I said, these are the five things we're doing. So there are five things. Cost segregation, right?
We can talk about cost segregation. Has our episode on that?
No, Ryan? So we have a full episode on cost segregation that we
need to know this before the end of the tax year.
We have a full episode with a cost segregation expert coming up soon on the podcast. And he walks you through step by step, what is cost segregation? But you might not be there yet. So if you only...
Even if you are there, okay, just...
Stop interrupting me.
No, you stop. You're kicking the can down the road.
I'm just telling you the episode hasn't aired yet. And
okay.
So I'm not going to... There's going to be a full detailed episode that we walk people through what cost segregation is all about.
A couple things you need to know about cost segregation. One, it's amazing. Two, it's a way to accelerate your depreciation deductions on a current taxable year. So... we teach you all about it. The thing is, you don't have to actually do it by the end of the year. You have to have your calculations done by the time you file your taxes. So if you file your taxes in April, you have to have all your cost segregation done by that. But most of the time, if you have a big corporation or you do a lot of business, you might file an extension until September, and you can finish your cost segregation September 1st and file on September 15th, and you've got it, right? So you need to know what cost segregation is. I think our episode on this is awesome. We got the guy who does this, but you need to start planning for it now. One, because it's not free. It's something that you're going to pay a specialist accountant to do.
They have to fly in to look at your properties.
And two, because you know you have to plan for that to be done. So now we have several dozen properties and I need to make sure that our guy, his name's David. Okay, David, when you go to Indiana, you've got now these, you know, couple dozen properties. And then when you go to Michigan, you've got these couple dozen properties. And he needs to know what each one was bought for. He's got to be ready to go because he needs to spend some time in these places in order to help us with our depreciation costs. So this is something that you should be thinking about and planning for. And I just have been working with our guy and getting him ready for these things. But again, you don't need to finish it by the end of December, but have it in your mind and maybe plan to pay a little bit extra for it because it will save you a ton of money in the long run.
And I don't want you to get scared about it. I mean, if you've got one or two properties, it's probably not, to David's point, it's probably not worth it. But when you've got, you know, 6, 10, 12 properties, even more, then that's when cost segregation can really help you add an extra level of depreciation.
I think he makes the point that it's worth it. Why are you...
Did he?
Saying
I thought,
that.
Well,
he, did
no,
you,
I asked,
were you even there?
He, I asked him specifically, you know, if you've got one property, is it worth it to you? And he said, well, you have to really balance. He said, if that
well,
one,
he said,
if,
on
he
a
said
one,
if that one property is 100 units, you know, that's different. If you've got one single family, then it's probably not. His answer was, because he's got a fly.
No, he said it probably would be worth about $7,500 in depreciation expense and would cost you about $1,500.
Okay, so you got to weigh that, I guess. You have to weigh that.
Why don't you do the math? What is 7,500?
We're going to weigh a lot of things, all right? We're going to weigh a lot of things.
Why are you discouraging people from using this amazing tool?
I'm not discouraging it. I'm just saying you don't get yourself all in a huff because
I think you should get in a huff.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Marriage.
All right, what do you think is number four?
Because I'm a genius, I get to remember all of these. Number four is getting your acquisitions in line before the end of the year. And you have to remember number five. So number four is acquisitions before the end of the year. Do you want to purchase properties in 2017? Now, there's a couple of things to consider with this, right? Let's say you're going to get a big raise or you know you're going to make a boatload more money in 2018. Would it make sense for you to close on a property that you're about to buy in 2017 at your current tax bracket? Or if you're about to make $200,000 more next year in 2018, maybe you want to consider closing
in the new calendar year
to offset that new income that you're about to make. So some things to talk about with your accountant, right?
And also, your title person is probably already has their head exploding because so many people think like us, right? And they're like, I want to close this before December 31st for these specific reasons.
We have about 60 properties lined up for closing before the end of the year right now.
Two are ours. And so, yeah. And but so I mean, everyone is rushing. My mom, this was her career when she was younger. Now she's in management. But so she was an escrow officer. And by the end of the month, because people had these very specific goals and specifically and especially by the end of the year, I just remember her. She would work so late at night to close escrows that she would call a police officer to walk her to her car because it would be like 1 or 2 in the morning.
Holy smokes.
And, she would just call someone and be like, I'm leaving my office. I'm alone. It's late. Can you please walk me to my car? And a cop would come over and walk her to her car at night so that she could get home safely because she worked so hard at the end of the month.
We're sold out of properties at the moment at our company, Morris Invest, because everyone's accountants have told them, hey, you got to buy 2 properties. You have to buy 3 before the end of the year. So as soon as we've gotten properties in, they've sold within minutes. And so please be kind to your title company because they are swamped right now at the end of the year. Yeah. All of these people wanting to claim it on their 2017 or, you know, whatever calendar year taxes you're currently in. So just be kind to them. They are absolutely swamped. They don't need stupid little fiddly questions coming from you. They don't have the time right now. They're trying to do title searches, provide title insurance, fill out deeds, get all of this processed so that you can close a property before the end of the year.
Yeah, it's crazy town.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you've got one in the works and there's anything you can do to get it on the books this year, you know, that's the kind of thing that I'm working on right now. Is there anything I can do to make this go smoother and make sure our ducks are in a row?
Yeah. So, okay, let's recap the four. And Natalie's going to tell us about the fifth here in a second. So declutter. Make sure you're decluttering. Focus on your acquisitions. Do you want to do that in this calendar year? Get your cost segregation in check and really start to think about that. Also,
maximize your contributions to your accounts.
And the last one that you wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You can't remember the last
one? Tell us.
You really?
Tell us. I remember. Making sure that you set your goals for 2018. Because now you have a plan, right? Or at least you have a plan for the end of this year. And then anything that you can do to make sure that next year is not like this, do that. You know, like what I'm doing right now is putting my file storage away. I love that time of year when I shred the 7th year in arrears. I go 7 years back and then shred all of those documents. Actually, I have my kids do it and I pay them for it. They love the shredder. And, and again, just making sure, is there anything that I can make sure that my ducks are in a row for 2018 so that we can hit the ground running? So for us, we've opened some new LLCs. We're acquiring now in different states. So those states need bank account or those LLCs rather need bank accounts. Open those bank accounts, make sure those things are ready to go, make sure all your online banking set up. Like last night, I got a few new accounts and I was linking them one to the next so I could pay the credit card for this. It's very exciting.
Yeah, we're buying some B-class properties right now because if you've heard me talk here on the podcast before, if you've got a lot of C-class, that's great. Those are our bread and butter. You want to sprinkle in a few B-class properties into your portfolio, and that's great to be able to try to maximize before the end of the year to purchase some of those, you know, $60,000 properties, $70,000 properties. The ROI is going to be slightly lower, but guess what? You may get the benefit of that appreciation. And then if you have that property in your portfolio, you might, you know, hey, may end up selling it for $100,000 eventually using that extra cash. So you want to look at those different acquisitions. So we're in the process of doing some of that right now in Ohio, which is exciting. So yeah. In our different markets.
Exactly. Right.
There you go. So there's your.
It's exciting times here in Natalie's office.
Exactly.
Very exciting.
We hope that it's as exciting in your home office right now with you and your family. We'd love to hear your goals. Just don't email us, please. I can't handle it. but especially
that's so rude.
I'm just saying I can't handle it.
All right, at least you know your limitations.
I know my limitations. I know my limitations.
I mean, you know what we're telling you to do? Like, we're not telling you open these types of accounts. We're telling you if you have these types of accounts, maximize them. We're not telling you to buy this type of real estate. We're telling you if that's your plan or it's in your goal, do it in a time that benefits you, right? But we don't know. We know, like I said, we only know certain things about how the tax law is going to continue to work. And then there's certain things we just don't. Like, for instance, we do have 529s. They're based on market-based indexes. We don't love that. We don't love investing in the stock market, but it is a pretty good savings vehicle for...
We keep it as like a lockbox.
Right, for our kids' education. But the new tax plan might have it so that we could pay for primary school. So, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, maybe I do want to put a little bit more money into those 529s when we don't really max out our contributions there usually. So, you know, again, we're sort of bobbing and weaving based on what the government's going to do. Who the heck knows?
Yeah, who knows what government's going to do?
We just have to... We have to play the cards that are actually on the table.
So we've got a lot of episodes here in the archives. If you're new to the channel, if you haven't already subscribed, please do. We've got so many back episodes that we really try to treat these as encyclopedic episodes for you to go back and reference to really help you on your family's journey to building wealth and helping you live the lifestyle that you want. That's ultimately the goal. We want you to be empowered to go however you do it. You know, you buy a 100-unit apartment complex in your backyard, great. Or you work with us and we help you get a property, it doesn't matter. We want you to take action and become a real estate investor and have an amazing new year, everybody.
That's right.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.